Welcome to the Nui Tech People podcast. My name is James McDonald. I spend my days interviewing some of the most innovative people working in the tech industry and hear some amazing stories. Each fortnight, we release a new episode sharing these conversations. This podcast aims to showcase the tech projects happening right here in Newcastle, provide key resources to help you grow your tech career, and share insights into the future of the Newcastle tech scene. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Sarah, Mark, thank you for coming on.
No, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess first things first, who are you? What do you do? Just give us, I guess, the little 5-minute bio about yourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go first, Sarah.
Yeah, so currently I'm the co-founder and chief operating officer of Script. So my role there is to manage getting software out the door so we actually have something to sell.
Yeah.
I've been in IT for about 20 years. So in that time I've had just about every role, so software development, QA and a bit of project management.
Yeah, okay. So you've well and truly covered it all.
And I'm Zips, and my name's Mark. I'm the CTO at Script at the moment. So I'm one of the three co-founders. So we have myself, Sarah, and Eric as well. So I'm mainly engaged in delivering the tech platform. But like Sarah, I've been around Newcastle IT for quite a long time now. I tend to pop up a fair bit at the university as well.
Just for a little while.
Just for a few months a year. So
outside of work, what do you do?
Kids, pretty much. We're pretty settled out in the western suburbs of Newcastle. So, but between work and kids, we're a bit of a karate family. We tend to spend four nights a week at the dojo out at Cameron Park. A bit of a mixture between training and teaching. So, my son and I teach classes together out there, and
that's awesome.
Something a little bit different gives us a good stress relief after a long day at the office to be able to, you know, go punch something for a few hours.
Yeah, I can understand how software development could elicit that sort of reaction. Fair enough. I imagine this will be sort of the first instance people have heard of Script, or for a lot of people, it's a fairly new company. You've kind of been in stealth mode for the last while. What is Script?
Yep, so Script is a new fintech. Currently, Australia is going through the implementation of open banking. So now there's a stack of new data that people have not been able to get in the past across banks. So someone needs to actually make that useful. And Script's purpose is to develop banking products that are bank agnostic, but they rely on open banking data to allow you to operate across a bunch of different financial institutions. So our solutions will be based businesses to give to their customers. So we're looking to provide the infrastructure to do that.
Yeah, think of like the infrastructure for being able to provide an internet banking platform, but it's not actually provided by your bank, and you're actually able to view your accounts, do payments, everything completely bank agnostic. But you're right, we've been pretty quiet so far. We're fairly new. I think I can't even remember we first started and got the idea, and then we went through a bit of a journey. We're VC funded at the moment, so there's been a massive learning curve there, and we're trying to not only just learn the tech side of things, but learn the whole startup side of things has been an interesting challenge for us. So, but yeah, we have been a bit quiet. There's big things to come though.
Awesome. Where did the idea come from? Why fintech? Why open banking?
So our background, between the three founders, we have over 60 years experience in payment technology.
Just casually?
Yeah.
So it's certainly an area that we feel comfortable in, and we bring a lot of experience to the table.
Yeah, I think that's what some of the founders actually, some of the VCs actually quite liked about us, is the fact that we're not your typical startup. We've been doing effectively what open banking is for 20 years before it was even called open banking. For all three of us co-founders, we worked together at Westpac, whether it was Sarah and I worked through Qvalent, our other co-founder Eric, he worked at Westpac on the product side of things. So we've all kind of been in this space for quite a while. So it was a bit of a natural progression.
And I imagine you kind of knew each other like through Westpac, and you kind of got comfortable with each other.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We didn't cross. So Sarah, you left Qvalent probably before Eric joined Westpac.
Yes.
And Eric and I only had a very glancing interaction. I was almost, he was coming in on as I was going out sort of thing. But we managed to get connected through some mutual acquaintances and shared our experience of working for the Big W, and it's and built a bit of an idea and a bit of a journey from there.
Cool. As you've kind of alluded to, you've spent a hell of a lot of time in pretty established companies. Why throw it all out and start your own thing? That's a pretty big call to make.
Yeah, so we've also had our own consulting company, Hunter Orbit, for over 10 years now. So running a business is not something that we're a stranger to. But the best thing about running a business is you get to create your own culture. So not only do you get to create the culture within the company, you can also have great impact on the community. So underrepresented groups in tech is something that I'm particularly passionate about. And I feel being a new and small company, there is so much you can do in that space because you can start from day one and hire the most diverse team. You don't have to put the blueberries in the muffin after you've baked it.
Excellent.
See, that's going to make me sound really bad because I think I just went through an early midlife crisis and decided that, you know, if I was ever going to go out and do my own thing, now is the time to do it. 19 and a half years at the one company, I kind of figured that, you know, I'd done as much as I felt I could do there and I wanted some new challenges. I actually worked full-time on Hunter Orbit for a good year, sort of in between working at QValent and coming on board with Script. So we still look after Hunter Orbit in the background. We've got a few students that have come on board that we've employed that are sort of running the shop for us at the moment while we focus our energy into Script.
Awesome. Who is Script? Who have you hired? Who do you typically hire? What does that team look like at the moment?
Yeah, so we've been really lucky with the team that we've got so far. There's five of us in Newcastle and we have an incredibly talented and experienced bunch now. So some people that are well known within the industry. So we have our nuclear physicist, Hervoy, who is an amazing tech genius. And Vitold, who has come from a few local tech companies, so he is someone that brings some amazing energy and new ideas to the company. And Fran Tenskins, who's such an amazing hard worker and just has the perfect attitude. So the people we're looking for are people that will give 100%, but they're all about the team. So we have a ball in our office. We currently have a 3D printer running 24 hours a day.
We're lucky enough that we've got a rooftop that we can go up and have meetings slash Friday afternoon drinks on top of when it's not pouring rain like it is today. And so yeah. With the five of us that we have in Newcastle, we've also got another two in our Sydney office as well. So Eric leads our Sydney office as our CEO, and then we have Paige there who's our head of product. And we have our new sales lead coming on board next month as well. So our team's sort of grown very, very quickly. We went from, you know, just the three of us co-founders to a full team almost overnight. So it's been an interesting journey as well.
Awesome. Who do you want to hire? Who do you want the team to be?
This is something that I talk about a lot with my students as well. For us, we have very much an emphasis on attitude. Attitude is everything to us. Skills and aptitude is something you can learn. And we're really big on making sure we give the opportunity for all of our staff to grow and learn. We've always said to all of our new hires that, you know, as much as it's your job to work for us, it's our job to grow you as an employee and as a person. If in the future you grow to a point where you get a massive opportunity from somewhere and you go off from somewhere else, we'll be clapping you on the way out the door because that means that we've done the right thing and we've grown you as a person. So we always find that will work best with the people that have got the right attitude to work. And like I said, we're pretty lucky that we've got a very flexible and pretty entertaining office at times. But that's the sort of thing that we mainly look for. It's those people that are keen, have a keen interest in not only the technology side of things, but the engagement and the outreach side of things as well.
Yeah, and we're looking for people in all stages of their career, so the graduates, the mid people, and the seniors as well.
Yeah, so we so far we've hired fairly seniorly, But I think that'll probably change over the next sort of 12 months as well. Obviously, we've got with our relationship with the university, we're going to be doing a lot of work integrated learning projects, and we are Hunter Orbit itself's got a bit of a history of hiring directly out of that pool. I know quite a few people at QValent were hired directly out of university after passing through my courses there. So we're going to continue that same relationship, and we're looking forward to getting in some more junior staff because they provide a lot of energy, and we know that we can grow them. So.
Cool. Any current vacancies, or are you very much just let's talk to interesting people?
Yeah, we're certainly keen to talk to anybody who's interested now. As far as hiring, that's probably something we're going to be looking to do again in the middle of the year. But we will have a big variety of roles on offer. So we will be looking for developers, DevOps people, information security people, QA people, business analysts and project managers, a wide range of roles for people.
Yeah, and we're very much tied to our sort of funding cycles as well, which is interesting because, yeah, we've pretty much hired our full stack that we've budgeted out of our seed round of funding, but we're very much sort of in the discussions with our VCs around Series A's and things like that. So there's lots of exciting announcements there to come, and that will just flow into more recruitment as well. We're currently based out of the WOTSO office over in Newcastle West, which is kind of cool because that's brand new. I think we were the second company in there, maybe something pretty close. But that gives us the ability to grow too, because we can just keep, you know, borging out from the corner that we're in at the moment and taking over more and more offices. So that's the current plan.
Awesome. While I'm thinking of it, what's your tech stack?
Well, this is one of the good things about being in a greenfields environment with so many smart people is we're building everything from the ground up. So we're very AWS centric. We've got a long background with AWS. Sarah and I both certified. Certified. but we're taking the opportunity to do a lot of practicing what we preach. I like to instill microservices architectures to students, and this is a good opportunity for us to get away from the monolithic software development of large tech stack companies, and we're going for microservices. But knowing that we're going to be hiring, knowing what the Newcastle IT space is like, and knowing that we a lot of what's taught out of the university, we've picked a Java stack, and so we've gone through and tailored it, knowing so that we'll be able to get the staff that we need, and we won't have to have a massive uplift. But it's kind of cool. It's great to be able to work on a brand new stack from scratch, and to be able to use all the latest tech.
All right, so we'll change tack a little bit. You've both lived and worked in Newcastle for a decent amount of time now. The phenomenon we're seeing at the moment is moving to Sydney companies, that sort of thing. Why did you stay in Newcastle?
Yeah, so we both moved to the big smoke of Newcastle from Port Macquarie straight out of high school. I guess the reason we've never left over the years is we've had such a strong sense of community and such a good friendship group in Newcastle. And the thought of a Sydney commute is not very appealing.
Yeah, we commute fairly often to Sydney, or pre-COVID we did anyway. Now it's not quite as often, but we always especially when talking to uni students, it was always like, well, there's no need to move to Sydney to get a tech job. There was so much tech available here in Newcastle. And now with all the work from home arrangements, that's never been truer. There's no need to be working in the big cities. So many friends of ours that have worked in tech in Sydney for years are now going for, you know, beach changes and tree changes because of all the work from home. But also work from home doesn't always suit everyone. We tend to find we mix it up a little bit. We work in the office, work from home, probably 50-50. Yeah. But having that flexibility, there's no reason to be having to leave Newcastle to be able to exceed in a tech career these days. So it's easier than ever.
Awesome. And I guess on that note, building and growing a company in Newcastle, any challenges, any benefits? How have you found it?
Yeah, so the market is obviously much smaller than Sydney. So you
don't I know it.
So you do get a lot fewer applicants per role, which can be challenging. The upside is it's such a close-knit community, so it is quite easy to reach out to people. and very easy to vet candidates because you're bound to have at least one mutual with any other Newcastle yes. tech person.
It's a very, very small connected group in LinkedIn. So
you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
But no, it has been interesting. There's a look, even just comparisons to Sydney, we're finding crazy things like it's costing us more to rent our office space here in Sydney than it is costing us to rent it in – sorry, it's costing us more in Newcastle than it's costing us to rent in Sydney because there's just such a massive oversupply in Sydney of office space, where in Newcastle here it's still pretty limited. So there's been a few challenges like that which threw a spanner in the works. It took a while for us to find WOTSO. But, yeah, it's we've been lucky to be able to leverage the – you know, it's who you know, not what you know, quite often as well.
Yes, yeah, the Newcastle standard, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And I guess you've both been in the game for a decent amount of time. You've kind of worked in Newcastle's tech sector for 2 decades, give or take. What do you think the next 10 years looks like?
Yeah, so I think the rise of Sydney companies hiring remotely is going to be a huge change to the Newcastle industry, because you're not just competing with the other Newcastle companies for candidates anymore. If you want to hire locally, you're still competing against the Canvas and the Atlassians. So I think that's going to bring challenge for employers, but fantastic for Newcastle IT people. There's so many more opportunities. Yeah. I think in the startup space, Camplify going public was a huge thing for the Newcastle startup space. And both the Newcastle University and Newcastle City Council are doing a lot to encourage startup activity in the area. So I'm really optimistic that in the next 10 years, we're going to see some huge things come out of Newcastle in regards to startups.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be really, really important because of those things to make sure that we do stick together as a community, where previously it's been, you know, it's the Q-Valent group over there and the NIB group over there and the PERM group over there. As we start to get more and more people living in Newcastle working remotely for Sydney and organisations all over the world, I think it's going to be important for some of the community stuff that we do so that we can all stick together, so we're not just a city of isolated workers. And that's where we like to be involved in things like the NUI Slack group and things like that, because I think they're going to – those sort of systems are going to help us all stay connected and sort of survive this transition to, you know, working from home and working for companies that are not physically located near you. I think it's going to be really important.
Yeah, 100%. I think the Newcastle tech community, obviously pre-COVID, was probably the most sort of together it had been. And there were a bunch of interesting meetups. We obviously had DevOps days kind of roll through late 2018. You know, we all felt very, I think, together, for lack of a better word. COVID kind of threw a wrecking ball through all that. But it seems like we're now in a position to sort of start rebuilding and start, like you said, building those bonds and making it a bit more of a community.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, through the work we do with the university too, we're keen to reach out and get a lot of companies to come in and start engaging with the students. The likes of Alex Mendez over in the CompSci faculty does a fantastic job going through and running a lot of the marketing and a lot of the outreach there. And we're doing a lot of work to get more and more companies to come in and get in front of the students, just to sort of expose them to some of the jobs that are out there and sort of give them a better idea on what a life in an IT role looks like. So if there is anybody that's interested in getting in front of some students and telling them the story of, you know, their local IT company and what they do and how they do it, especially if you want to talk tech stack, yeah, definitely reach out to me, because there's lots of opportunities to make that happen.
So shifting gears again, what sort of education did you both undertake to get where you are today? You've had pretty long and successful careers. How'd that all start?
Yeah, so we both initially started with a Bachelor of Computer Science at University of Newcastle, and paths have diverged somewhat since then. So
just a little.
Mark went all the way through to get his PhD.
I basically just haven't left. So I think I'm older than most of the furniture over in ES these days. So
yeah, myself, I have an MBA also from the University of Newcastle. And aside from that, a lot of industry certifications. So as we mentioned, AWS Solutions Architect.
And a few other tech ones under our bag. But we kind of did things a little bit differently too. You did your MBA online. which was a bit of a, it was an interesting from my perspective because I'd never sort of seen the on the online education side of things. So that was a bit of a new look into how things are done outside of the engineering faculty.
It made the COVID transition very easy, being online already.
But I went from, bachelor degree through honours, through PhD, took way too long to do my PhD, basically because I just did a part-time and used that as a good excuse to drag it out because I didn't really want to leave. And then managed to pick up enough teaching there that I still haven't managed to leave. I had a little bit of break for a couple of years just to, you know, focus on the career. Didn't take much of a break because I ended up turning around and teaching through UNE for a little bit during that break. But which was interesting because they got me to teach things like AI that wasn't really one of my core subjects, but that was kind of cool. It's always good to be thrown in the deep end in some things. But, back there teaching again this semester, so I still feel like I haven't left.
Going to kind of put your uni loyalty to the test with this one. I don't think there's been more debate around the validity of a university degree than we kind of are having at this point in time. Does a software engineer need a university degree to become employable?
I am a little biased, obviously, in answering this one, being that I do have my latest contract sitting in my inbox to sign. But when comparing sort of people that come through, especially our software engineering and computer science degrees, which are the two I've had the most exposure to, and comparing them to people that are maybe TAFE or a bit self-taught and things like that, what I tend to find is that from a technology perspective and skills in, Java and this and that platform, they're relatively on par. They walk out of those whatever education path they're doing there and, if you ask them to write some Java code, they'll write some Java code. What I personally find a little bit different with the people that actually graduate through the universities, they also then walk out with some additional skills. And those skills are more around the being how to tackle a problem. We spend a lot of time in giving students problems and asking them to pull it apart and work out how to address it. We also tend to find that they're a little bit more platform technology agnostic. So a great example is I've got a fourth year software engineer working for me at the moment. He's doing Java all the way through university and his first day in working for us at Hunter Orbit, we threw in PHP. And he's just eating it up.
He didn't leave.
I know. I was a little bit concerned. That's the sort of skills that we see for people coming through the academic sort of arena there through the university is they tend to be that little bit more rounded and they tend to be able to be thrown at problems rather than just here, just go write some code for me. Obviously, I'm relatively biased in this, but that being from high, I've hired on both sides of the spectrum and going through people that have just come and been self-taught versus people that have come through the university, and that's just been my experience. So.
Yeah, I mean, saying that, I know personally I've worked with plenty of very talented people who haven't gone through a computer science or software degree. So Pervoy, one of the best software engineers we know, actually has a physics degree, but still over the years has become an amazing software engineer.
But in saying that too, being the fact he's gone through and he's had an academic degree, and I think even though it was in physics, it still taught him a lot of the skills that you actually would learn out of the university. So
sure.
The other big thing we find out you get out of the university type arrangement is that you do a lot of industry engagement as well. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think the University of Newcastle has improved a lot on over the sort of last 5 or 6 years. Back when I was teaching, 2015, there was none. There was very little engagement with industry at all. But over the past few years with the work integrated learning subjects coming through, and even just there's a push at the moment to make sure that every single subject has at least one industry person come in and give a bit of a presentation. And so the university is really starting to see the value. And not only does it help sort of I see it as really great at allowing the students to take what we've taught them and work out how to apply it to the real world. So they can go through it. Oh, yeah, I can understand that. We learned about that here. But from the flip side, I think the students also then start to learn about the local industry as well, and they can kind of go, hey, I like those guys, and I want to inquire more about them. And it sort of gives a bit of confidence to the students that, when they walk out the door, they'll actually be able to find a job at the end of their degree as well.
Yeah, 100%. I guess on that note, any pathways you think make sense for prospective, I guess, tech professionals that maybe are a bit off the beaten path, any sort of degrees that maybe don't come up in the first page of Google searches?
Oh, look, the university market at the moment is a little bit contracting from the degree perspective. There's a lot of those more esoteric degrees are actually being cut out purely because changes in government funding. In saying that, personally, I'm getting a lot more exposure to students that are doing IT degrees these days versus comp sci and soft eng. Historically, I would have said if I was going to hire someone to write code, I wouldn't have thought of anybody outside of a software engineering degree or maybe a comp sci degree. But I'm actually seeing a lot more of what the IT students do and starting to get a much better appreciation for the types of skills that they can provide as well. So we tend to talk to anybody out of all three of those degrees. But we have all sorts of problems to solve, and not all of them are technology problems as well. So I guess that's one interesting thing. The companies I've worked for in the past have been purely everyone was tech. And so we need to be hiring people outside of that bubble, which I think is going to be a bit of a learning curve for us as well. So anyone we're interested to talk to, especially if they have a real passion for being able to take data and find new and interesting ways to use it and leverage it. That's kind of where we tend to think of ourselves a bit more of a, sometimes less as a fintech and more as a data processing shop, because that's what we find that we spend a lot of time doing. So
awesome. I guess just kind of wrapping up more than anything. So you've both kept pretty busy. You've got your fingers in a lot of pies. Anything else that you're up to that you think's worth mentioning?
Yeah, so this year's Script is looking to partner with HunterWise. So that's an initiative that's been born out of the University of Newcastle. And it's about getting women into IT careers. So they get in nice and early with the Year 8 kids, reach out to the schools and talk to both the boys and girls about the prospect of a career in IT. And for new IT professionals, there's also a lot of mentoring and networking events. So that's a fantastic initiative that gives back to the community and also diversifies the IT industry by just giving women and other underrepresented candidates a bit more of encouragement and to make them think about a career in IT where they may have seen it as a very boys-own, geeky kind of area that may be a bit intimidating if they're the only girl in the room.
Yeah, I think the mentoring side of that's going to be one of the most important things, because I think the mentoring allows them to see that there is so many strong female and underrepresented IT people in the Newcastle area, so they can see the evidence out there of how well they're doing and they actually can picture themselves in those sort of careers. So I think that's going to be a really big thing for the Newcastle area as that continues to grow.
Yeah, there's probably a good element in there of just showing students at that level that there isn't just software development jobs. There's a whole wide world of jobs out there. You don't need to cut code for 40 hours a week to be a tech professional.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, we're super keen to be getting involved with the Work Integrated Learning students at Newcastle Uni this year. We're just about to put up 6 or 7 different projects, not just out of Script, not just out of Hunter Orbit. We've got partnerships with some other Sydney companies that we work with that actually we're engaging. We've got some projects out of ag tech space as well. If you want to learn about running Raspberry Pis out on farms to weigh cattle as they get fed, then I'm the guy to talk to. We can line up a project there for you, no worries. We've got all sorts of things in the burner. We always said that we wouldn't do this, but we've kind of ended up with, 2 to maybe 3 full-time jobs again, which is something a few years back we said we'd never do, but it's a little bit different when it's your own company. It doesn't feel like a job. It's an adventure more than anything else for us.
Drag well back in.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. And what university starts what again in a couple of weeks? So I'd better start prepping for that. Otherwise, my students will eat me alive. So.
You'll be fine. Just wing it. Just getting, I guess, down to the tail end of it. How do people find out more about Script?
Yeah, so there's a few channels that we're available on. So there's the Script website. Happy to have a look at that.
I'll drop a link in there.
If you want to talk to Mark or myself directly, we're on the Newey Slack group. So that's Nui with three W's. Mm-hmm. We're contactable on LinkedIn, and you can email us at either Mark or Sarah at script.com.au.
With a K. Script with a K.
In case you don't see it on the shirt.
In case you don't see it on the shirts, yes. Well, this is our corporate uniform today. We're very dressed up for this. Is very much overdressed for us.
We'll take whatever we get.
Yep, absolutely. Even if it is a soaking wet black T-shirt after getting caught in that horrendous storm.
We survived. We got through it.
All good.
Anything else you guys want to plug?
No, I think that's about it. Look, we appreciate your time. It's good to have a chat. And look, we're always up to talk to anybody who wants to get more engaged in the Newcastle IT scene. We're always looking for new recruits, but we're always looking for new projects and distractions as well. So happy to have a chat with anyone.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you, Liam. Thanks to NTP.
No dramas. And for you listening out there, wherever you may be, thank you for listening and thank you for getting through it. Cheers.
Listening to this episode of Nui Tech People. To stay up to date with all our episodes, our show notes, and past episodes, please visit www.nuitechpeople.com.au. Thank you.